All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And this particular podcast is going to run as a series. And it'll be about 8 weeks, maybe 9 weeks. This is based on a men's study that I am starting here at the church on Fridays. And it is based on a book written by Sam Waldron. And it is titled, A Man as Priest in His Home. So this is obviously directed towards the men, our husbands, fathers, leaders in the home in particular. I was asked by several folks if I would be putting this up on the podcast and thought that I would give it a shot and see how it communicates in the podcast setting. And if it works out okay, I'll continue to do it and I'll do others in a similar fashion. So I actually got the book. It was recommended to me by one of my guys, Mike Ashley, and I read it. I love the book. I love the layout. It read easy. The principles taught in it were simple to grasp, and it outlined well. So I actually wrote up a study guide to go along with it with some additional questions and so forth at the end of it. And it's just another way to help those that take the class to gain a little bit more out of it, although it won't be taught as well as Sam Walden will teach it. But be that as it may, it's good material, and I think it's relevant, especially given the state of many homes today and men trying to figure out what their role is in the home. I would encourage you, don't define your role as a husband and as a father and as a leader in the home. Don't get your definition or understanding from the world. They don't have a clue, and they're not in the least bit interested in Christianity, biblical Christianity, and the biblical family. They call it a nuclear family, the world does. It's a biblical family, and it's the family, it's the unit, if you will, the structure that God has ordained for the purpose of having a well-ordered society. Now think about that in light of today's culture and same-sex marriage and transgenderism and the feminization of men in particular. So the feminists, you know, are demasculating men, basically. Any man that acts in any way, shape, or form, you know, what we'd consider manly is considered offensive by these women. But I think the tide's turning on that. And I think more and more women are sick and tired of feminine men. But that is a subject for another time. I'm certainly not going to get into all of that right now. But based on my reading and my conversations with people over the years, that's what I'm finding. So this is based on a men's study. And all the studies, of course, are centered around the Lord, centered around God's inspired word. And the whole point is to improve our spiritual lives, homes, and ministry. What does it look like to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be truly a well-rounded man of God? So for example, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Be an example to believers. While this is an address to young Timothy, who is a pastor, I believe the big takeaway here is this: our lives, all of our lives, not just the pastor, but all of our lives should be such that we can lead in these areas, including our homes. Another mark of godly men is when you consider their walk in holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 15. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." Men, and women too, but this is a men's study, men should be attentive to nurturing the spirit and putting to death the cravings of the flesh. Lust in all forms, anger, greed, laziness, and selfishness should all be mortified, and the spirit with its corresponding fruit should be manifest. In several respects, this series of lessons parallels some of the material from the last fellowship, or last year's fellowship, Disciplines of a Godly Man. The idea is that since we should already be exercising certain disciplines in our lives, a transition to what we will be learning in the weeks ahead should be, in theory, easy. Building strong leaders in men so that their leadership is seen and felt in all facets of their lives is imperative in these latter days. The falling away is not just seen in the church, it's happening in our homes as well. So this series of lessons will touch upon a critical point for men who would be godly fathers and husbands, our role as priests in the home. This book, as I stated, was recommended to me. I read it. It read well. It outlined easily, so I thought I would type up a lesson. The author's thesis for writing this work is to, and I quote, help men understand the nature of their leadership in the home, especially in light of the cultural pressures we tend to face, close quote. So the lines that are separating men and women's roles are being blurred, even in our churches, and of course, it's filtering out into our homes. Men are being emasculated by the overt feminism that our culture reeks of, and women are being told that it's a shame to be a housewife or a stay-at-home mom, to be attentive to the family, to the children, and to her responsibilities at home. And again, that's a very shameful and incorrect way of looking at it. A godly woman who is taking care of her home and taking care of her children is a precious jewel. It is a precious gem. So God bless those women that do that. I thank God for my wife who does that. And so men, we should not be put into a position where we're criticized every time we turn around for taking strong roles in leadership. That's what we are. We're men. We lead. We desire to lead. We are protectors. We're providers. And from a biblical perspective, that's what we're called to be. Martin Lloyd-Jones, as quoted by the author, said this, and I quote, I regard this as a most serious matter. There is no more important influence in the life of a child than the influence of the home. The home is the fundamental unit of society, and children are born into a home, into a family. There you have the circle that is to be the chief influence in their life, end quote. It is the biblical teaching everywhere, and it is always in so-called civilizations where ideas concerning the home begin to deteriorate that society ultimately disintegrates. In the Old Testament, it is quite clear that the father was a kind of priest in his household and family. He represented God in the home. He was truly a priest in his home. He was responsible not only for the morals and behavior, but for the instruction of his children. The instruction of his children. Keep that in mind. Now, on the first chapter, priestly ministry, and this is where the lesson really begins, we begin by asking, what is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I believe this commandment sums up our life, our ministry, in our churches, and especially in our homes. Love for God is the driving force behind everything else we do in his name. It keeps our wayward hearts in check and fuels us with the passion and perseverance to press on. Loving our neighbors is the next part of that commandment, which includes our service to them. So service is the underlying issue, and in the context of this series, as husbands, we should view our family as a ministry. When things go sideways in our homes, how do we reset things? When our wives are struggling with depression or having a hard time physically, issues with the kids, spiritual struggles, and so on, what happens if your children are rebellious or struggling with things? How do you as a husband, as a priest in your home, help them? From Christ's priesthood, we draw our example and inspiration. We see this in three basic ways. In the work of redemption, in his incarnation, God manifested in the flesh, the hypostatic union between God and man, and in his presence in the church. You can reference Romans 12, 4 through 8 for that. We're not going to reference the verses here. I'll let you do that since this is a study and you should have your Bibles anyway. Take the time. You can listen to this podcast anywhere. So, you know, get home, look up the verses. But what is, number one, the greatest responsibility followers of God have? to love him with all our hearts, minds, and souls. Matthew 22:37-40. And what is the second? To love our neighbors as ourselves, ministering to their needs, their spiritual needs. And I know there's a big debate. Well, you need to love your neighbors, and they don't always explain what that looks like. What does that look like to love your neighbors? Does that mean to accept them in their sin? Absolutely not. Does it mean to accept any misbehavior or immoral practices or ungodliness? Absolutely not. That's not what it means at all. And that's a point that people are missing. We love them enough to give them what they need. There was a man at Gate Beautiful who was crippled and couldn't walk. And obviously he was there begging for money. And when the apostles came up to him, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but..." And they told him, "Rise up and walk." And so as a result of that healing, now he could go out and get his own job. He didn't have to beg for money anymore. But that was the most important thing. So I would say this, the most important thing in your home, and I understand men are looking at this in the perspective of, I want to make sure I provide for my home. I want to make sure my wife has, she has comfort, she has peace, she has everything that she needs. And a woman wants to feel comfortable, and they want to feel peace in their homes, and they want to feel secure. And men have a responsibility to provide that security for them by providing what their needs are. Now, again, that's going to look different in every home, because every woman's different, every man's different, and the philosophy of the home is different. But the most important thing in all of that is to provide spiritual food for the family. The other thing we look at as Christian men and husbands is, how should we view our ministry to our family? As a priestly ministry, ministering to all aspects of our family's needs in prayer, support, guidance, and even structure. That's what we need to focus on in our families, praying for our wives, praying for our children, and don't stop praying for them. We're going to get into Job and his involvement, his priesthood, if you will, in his family. Job chapter 1 is a phenomenal chapter and provides great framework for how we should be with our homes and our children and family and so forth. So what are the five aspects of a priestly ministry? And this is based on Hebrews 4:14 to Hebrews 5, verse number 3. Again, we're not going to read the verses. You can do that in your time, your spare time. And these notes, of course, are based on the book. And so if you get the book, you'll see a lot of similarities to this lesson. So what are the five aspects of priestly ministry? The goal of priestly ministry is to do good to the souls of men, to exist for the sake of men. And so our role, obviously, in the home is for the good to the souls of those that are under our care and nurture and leadership. Number two, the focus of priestly ministry and things pertaining to God. So the focus of priestly ministry is reconciling men to God by correcting their standing before Him. The question we should be asking in advance is, what is a person standing before God, saved or lost? It is a good place to start in the conversation. And again, this is important in our homes, with our children in particular. Don't take for granted, because they were raised in a Christian home, that they are regenerate. They may not be. So as parents, you want to make sure that you press your children on their salvation and make sure that they have truly been born again, that the faith to them is real, and that it is personal between them and the Lord, and that they're not trying to ride into heaven on your coattails. That is another reason why a lot of children are leaving the church and families and ministry altogether, is because all their life they've been following their parents' religion and on the coattails of their parents, and it's never been made real to them. So you have a responsibility, Dad, to make sure that you minister to your children and to ask them, questions pertinent to soteriology or salvation. Then, thirdly, the concern of priestly ministry, and that would be regarding sins. So the chief concern of the priestly ministry is to deal with sin that has ruined someone's relationship with God. We minister at a level where we can help people with their sin and repent so that may be covered by the blood of Christ. Direct them to Christ. Talk about forgiveness and the cleansing work of the blood, and go before him and deal with it. The fourth one, the spirit of priestly ministry, he should deal gently. The idea here is that moderation or self-restraint to deal with measured passion. Dealing with children who act emotionally, we must meet the need of their response with a measured response. Strength and seen in control. Use gentleness and wisdom when dealing with your children. Oftentimes we are reactionary, but there's nothing there. There's no substance. Be careful that you provoke not your children to wrath. And then number five, the perspective of priestly ministry with the ignorant and the misguided in particular. And I think the author's point here is that sinners are not to be avoided, but approached with a spirit of humility as sinners redeemed by grace gently and carefully. And so those are some of the concerns there, some of the aspects of a priestly ministry that as a leader in the home you should consider. And what I did at the end of this lesson is I included thought-provoking questions for meditation and application. I'll include those here. And for those that are part of the church and they want a study guide, if there are any left over, you're welcome to one. And I'll make sure I get it in your hands after we get settled with who's going to be in the class, because those are obviously the folks that are going to end up with these. But in your own words, describe why the priestly ministry in your home is important. That's number one. Number two, in things pertaining to God, what do you allow in your home that would prohibit you from exercising your duties as a man, as a priest in your home? Number three, if there is sin in your home, what are some steps to take to deal with it? And that's the last question there. So the next lesson will be on the scriptural grounds for a man as priest in his home. So we'll talk about some of those things here. Again, there's nine lessons that are laid out, and I will try to put together nine of these episodes. And I hope they're a blessing and encouragement to you as we talk about some of these things. Maybe get you on your way and get some things back in order in your own homes. Take care, and the Lord bless you.